Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. We are going back into the halachas of Chanukah. This is the laws of Chanukah part 2, the Siman Kuf Lamentes, the 139th chapter in the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. We're going to be looking at 8 concepts today. The concepts that we're going to be examining are: if the candles go out, using the light of the candles, lighting in a shul, women in the midst of Chanukah, the Chanukah and Shabbos, being a guest on Chanukah, extra fuel after the Chanukah can after Chanukah is finished, and special additions in the Chanukah tefillah. Let's jump straight in at the very beginning. Okay, so here we go. First concept we're dealing with is if the candles go out. So, a few basic questions. We're going to look at 5 questions. Yeah, number one is, what if I lit incorrectly and then I corrected the situation? So, I had less than enough oil. It was too high. It was above 20 amos, 35 feet. It was too low when I lit it. What do I do in that situation? So, we paskin that hadlaka oisei mitzvah, that the lighting itself is the time when I'm fulfilling the mitzvah, and therefore it needs to be correct at that time. If it is not correct at that time, then it is seen as deficient in the mitzvah, and I need to extinguish those candles and restart the lighting as well. Does the relighting need a bracha? The Kitzur says no. The Mishnah Berurah says in the situation where one lit too high, one lit above 20 amos, that is the way one did it incorrectly, then one would need to say a new bracha as well. What if the wind blew out my candles? So it would depend. If I lit in a place where it was obvious that it was too windy and it would not last for half an hour, then I did not fulfill my mitzvah because at the time of my lighting, it was not in a place which could last for the time of the mitzvah. However, if it was not the case and I put it in a safe place, but a wind came that was unexpected and blew it out, in that circumstance, I did not need to relight technically. So in that second case, should I relight? So I lit it in a safe place, somebody opened the door, a gale came in, it blows it out, do I need to relight? So although technically not, the minhag has been to relight it just because, obviously without a bracha as well. If the candle blows out, how do I relight it? So this happens all the time, candles extinguish all the time. So if I am relighting it, the minhag is not to light from candle to candle, so not to pick up the neighboring candle, but rather to take the shamash, which is the server candle, and use that to light from one to another as well. And we look at our second concept today, and that is using the light. As we say in Haner Salalom, we're not supposed to use the light. So wait a second. I like the ambience of the darkness and the Chanukah candles lighting up the room. May I switch off all the lights and just light the Chanukah candles like that? So the answer to this is one has to be a little careful because one's not allowed to benefit from the candles themselves, as you describe in Haner Salalom. Does this mean I can't walk into my house when the candles are lit? The answer is no. You can walk around your house even if the candles are lit. It means to say not doing an activity which requires light near the candles and they're the only light source in the room. Why is this not allowed? So this is because we're lighting Chanukah candles specifically to commemorate this miracle. And if one's starting to do crocheting next to the candles and needs the light for that time, one's writing Le'or Haner, it becomes as confusing as if those candles are for the candles of Chanukah or they're just for your personal activity as well. How long is this prohibition in effect for? So it is only for the first 30 minutes after dark where the specific mitzvah is being fulfilled. But if they last for 3 hours, then it does not necessarily mean after the first 30 minutes have passed. How do I fix this situation? The Ketzer points out this is why we have a shamash. We have the helper candle, which is going to be an extra light provider so that one will not run into this situation as frequently. Where is the shamash placed? It should be placed higher than the other candles to differentiate the fact that it's providing light and it's not like a regular Chanukah candle as well. Some menorahs are not careful with this. They have them on the same level, just protruding outwards. It should really be higher. Let's look at our third concept today. Our third concept is lighting in a shul. Why do we light in a shul? The Gemara doesn't even talk about lighting in a shul. It's our first question of 5 on this topic. So there are 3 reasons why we light in a shul, which are enumerated by the Rishonim, the medieval commentators, because this does not appear in the Gemara. And the first is because there would many times be people who sleep and live in a shul. And therefore, for those people, this would be their Ner Chanukah, much like Kiddush in a shul on a Friday night to a certain degree. Another reason is because of Pirsum HaNisa. This is a public aggrandizing of the miracle. And that would even require bracha, because this is where people are davening, so many people are there, and that's the place to do it. Not just a minyan place, this is a shul where people are going to be, and it's an expression of Pirsumei Nisa. What about, and the third explanation which is rendered, is because it's commemorating the way the miracle was done. The miracle was done in the Beis HaMikdash, and the shul, the Beis Knesses, is a Mikdash Ma'at, so it's done to commemorate that as well. Is there a bracha said on the neros, which are lit in shul, and the candles in shul? The answer is yes. Can the person who lights them with a bracha in shul come home and light them with a bracha in their house? The answer is yes, because it's considered a separate mitzvah. Do I say the brachas again if I go home? The answer is yes. There is a debate about Shechianu. So on the first night of Hanukkah, where there's a third extra bracha of Shechianu, there's a debate as to whether one says it again at home because one has already said it. The Mishnah Berurah says only if there are other people in the household who need to hear it. The Igros Moshe of Moshe Feinstein points out that one always repeats it because it's said in a separate context and separate in, audience. Finally, can a person who is an avelos light in shul? The answer is they could light in shul, but it is best not to light on the first night to avoid a public shechianu. But then he may say it, or in their home in a private context may say shechianu. We're looking at the fourth concept now, which is women and the mitzvah of Chanukah. Are women obligated in lighting menorahs? And the answer is yes. But why? Surely it's a mitzvahs asei she'azman grama, it is a positive commandment which is time-bound. So the answer is because women were involved in the miracle, both in the persecution and in the redemption, therefore they are equally as bound in the light in the candle. So may a woman light a menorah for a household? The answer is certainly. Why do women generally not have their own menorah? So it depends. If a woman is single, then she should have her own menorah if she's Ashkenazi. If she is married, then we generally say Ishta Kagufa, and one menorah is for the couple as well. And by convention, generally speaking, men light, but that's really for both of them. And in certain circumstances, let's say a man's out of the house as well, generally speaking, the woman will light in that case. What about a child? Should a child light the menorah? The answer is yes. Once they reach the Zman of Chinuch, between 6 and 9 years old, where they understand what the mitzvah is, they should certainly be lighting a menorah. How many candles should they light? Technically speaking, one, which is the mitzvah, one per night. However, we try, if we have enough candles, they should light the same amount, so they're learning out of the mitzvah properly as well. Can a blind person light the menorah? They, technically speaking, are not mechuyav, are not obligated, so somebody else should light for them, or should they contribute to somebody else's lighting? What happens if they're alone? So they can light, but they should not do it with the brachas obviously taking care of danger. Then let's move a little further. What about the next concept, which is Shabbos and Chanukah, when the two converge? Six basic questions. When do I light on Erev Shabbos, which is going into Chanukah? So I first have to obviously light Chanukah candles, then Shabbos candles. If you're to light the Shabbos candles first and take the Shabbos in, you're not allowed to light the Chanukah candles then as well. How early may I light? One can only light from Plag HaMincha onwards, which is an hour and a quarter of relative hours before sunset, so it's not so early. It cannot be too early in the day. What about Mincha? So it's best to daven Mincha first, which is why it's very popular on a Erev Shabbos Chanukah to daven an early Mincha and then light as a mensch at home, light Chanukah candles, then Shabbos candles, and then go to Shul to daven Kabbalah Shabbos. How long should the candles last? They need to last 30 minutes after dark, so therefore it needs to be that the candles are a little longer because it has to go past sunset and past dark, so they have to be stronger candles. Where should the Chanukah candles go? So they should be in the usual place that one puts them, in Israel outside the door, in Chutz Lars by the window, unless one's so high up it goes back to by the door. But one should be extra specially careful to ensure that there's not going to be a wind when the door's opened that might blow them out, because that itself is considered a violation of Shabbos and one will not be able to run out them as well. When do we light on Motzei Shabbos? So at home, one does Havdalah first and then Chanukah candles, and in Shul, one reverses it. One does the Chanukah candles first and then Havdalah, and that's because the crowd will dissipate after the end of Shul, and we want it to be as long of a Pirsumei Nisa, of a spreading of the idea of the miracle afterwards as well. We move on to our next concept. Our next concept is being a guest on Chanukah. We're going to look at three basic questions. What if one is staying elsewhere for a night of Chanukah? So it depends. If one's spouse is lighting for oneself in one's home, then one can light the Chanukah candles where one is, but one should not say a bracha. Best maybe to hear it from the person who is saying it with a bracha, and then say amen, and then light one's own candles. If one does not have a spouse lighting for them at home, so a person is, let's say, single, a person is a student in yeshiva or university, and they are there, and there's no one lighting for them specifically, then they need to light with a bracha in the place that they sleep. if one is a guest, can I just be yotzei with the host? The answer is yes, but one should contribute a few dollars towards the oil and candles. But at the same time, it is best to really light oneself in that situation. Very important question, which always comes up every year. What if I'm eating at someone and then I'm going to be going back later in the night to my own place? Where do I light? So one lights in the place one sleeps, which is one's home. One does not light where one eats. This is very common when it comes to Hanukkah parties, and children will come to parents and drive to their parents and spend time there and then go back home. They should either light before they come, or after dark, or afterwards, but they should not light in the place that they are going to be just eating as well. This requires careful planning when it comes to Shabbos Hanukkah, where oftentimes people are invited to the other side of town, and then one needs to have the Hanukkah candles. One cannot drive there, light there. One has to light before, go there and come back. Obviously, you're doing it in a way that's safe, whether it's tea lamps in the sink or something in a way that one is not concerned about a fire. Next concept is extra fuel after Hanukkah. Three basic questions. What if I have leftover oil, leftover candles after Hanukkah? What can I do with them? So the halach is one should burn them. Why? Why should I destroy them? The answer is because once they've been set aside for the mitzvah, then one cannot use them for anything else as well. What happens if I want to get around that? I want to use the extra oil for cooking afterwards. So if one has a big bottle of olive oil, that one's using for one's candles, one can make a tnai, a verbal condition, before one starts using them, saying that I'm not only going to use what I pour out into the cups for Hanukkah, and the rest I'm not sanctifying, and then I won't be able to use them. Finally, last concept today, and that is special editions in the Hanukkah Tefillah. We have to look at 14 basic questions, and that is what gets added to the Amidah on Hanukkah. We have this paragraph called Al Anisim, which is added into the bracha, into the 18th bracha of the Shemona Esrei, which is the bracha on Thanksgiving. And in that Thanksgiving, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his expression through history as he saved us at the times of Hanukkah. What if I left out the Al Anisim? So if one's still in the bracha, one can insert it then. If one left it out and one's finished the bracha, one does not go back. However, if one has not finished the Shemona Esrei yet, before one says the Yiratzon at the end of the Shemona Esrei, one can say what's called a special Yiratzon, which is you say Arachaman Hu Yaselanu Nisim Niflas Kasher Sisal Mavaseinu Bayamim Bayimazman Azeh. Please let Hashem, as a request, a supplication, please do for us miracles like you did in those days for us, and then say the whole paragraph of the Al Nisim. What else is different about the davening? So there's two additions. There's Halel and there's Kriyas HaTorah. There are four omissions. One does not say Tachnun. One does not say Kel Erech HaPayim before taking out the Torah. There's no Lam Natzeach. And there's no Tzidkoscha on Shabbos. One does add at the end of the davening an extra paragraph of Tehillim, which is Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, after the Shir Shel Yom, and does not require its own Kaddish. It's attached to, because it's Tehillim, be attached to the Tehillim of the Shir Shel Yom, and then one Kaddish afterwards. And also, it's important to notice there's no Musaf. This is not a biblical holiday which requires a Korban Musaf, therefore there is no Tfilas Musaf as well. Question number four, how many aliyahs are there for the Torah reading? Three aliyahs for the Torah reading. It's like a regular weekday, not like a Rosh Chodesh where there are four. Where does the landing come from? It comes from the end of Parshas Nasa, which is called the Chanukah Sanasin, the dedication of the princes in the times of the Midbar, where they were dedicating the Mishkan as it was ready. It's similar to the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, which was done in the times of the Chashmonaim. It's read that one splits that day into two and then does the next paragraph. So if it's the second day of Hanukkah, one takes Bayom HaSheni, which is the second day of dedication of the Mishkan of the Nesiim, splits that into two for Kohen and Levi, and then reads Bayom HaShlishi, the third day, for the third Aliyah. What about the eighth day? So we split the eighth day, Bayom HaShmini, into two for Kohen and Levi, and then Yisrael reads from day 9, 10, 11, 12, and the conclusion and the beginning of Parshas Baalos, which refers to lighting the candles in the menorah as well. What about on Shabbos? On Shabbos, we bring out two Sefer Torah on Shabbos Hanukkah, one for the Shabbos landing, which we do seven aliyahs out of, and then the second one is for the maftir of that day of Hanukkah. Our Torah comes from Zechariah Perek Beis, which is in the vision of the menorah that Zechariah has shown as well. What about Rosh Chodesh during the week? So on Rosh Chodesh, we take out two Sefer Torah, and there are four aliyahs read like on a Rosh Chodesh. The first three come from Rosh Chodesh, landing, and the last one comes from the Hanukkah of that day. Why is Rosh Chodesh first? So the answer is because we have a rule which is called Tadir Sheina Tadir Tadir Kodem. The more common thing always goes first. Rosh Chodesh happens more times a year than Hanukkah does. There's 8 days of Hanukkah. There's at least 12, really actually, plus 6. So it's about 18 days of Rosh Chodesh a year. What happens if we mistakenly started from Chanukah, not Rosh Chodesh, so we flipped it? Then we do, in that case, we do one aliyah of Chanukah and then do the three aliyahs of Rosh Chodesh afterwards. What happens if we did four aliyahs of Rosh Chodesh like we usually do and we forgot about Chanukah? So it depends. If only one Torah was taken out, you completely forgot to bring up the Chanukah Torah, then those four aliyahs are sufficient. If two Torahs are taken out, one just forgot to switch the last aliyah for Chanukah, one would need to bring a fifth aliyah to add that fifth aliyah so that the Torah of Chanukah does not look like it was left on the side because of pogrom, because it had a mistake in it. Next question, what if Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos? So then one brings out three Sefrei Torah. The first six aliyahs are read from the Parshas HaShavuah, usually Miketz. The seventh aliyah is from Rosh Chodesh, starting from Uvayom HaShabbos. And the Maftir is the Maftir of Chanukah, followed by the Haftarah of Chanukah. Why doesn't Rosh Chodesh take the cake and get the Maftir and Haftarah? The answer is, although we say Tali Rosh Hashanah, Tali Kodesh, the more common one comes first. In this case, there's a notion of Pirsum HaNisa, of publicizing the miracle, which is only really possible in the more grand expression, which is through the Maftir. And finally, the Ketzer ends off with one last observation. What's the next holiday that we celebrate? And that is Tu Bishvat, which is Rosh Chodesh Li'ilanos, the day which marks the differentiation of years when it comes to trees, the new trees growing. And therefore, one has a minhag not to say Tachanun on such a day and to eat extra fruit, and appreciation of the fruit and that which grows from the tree on that day. With this, we conclude the halachas of Chanukah. Have a wonderful and meaningful